And joining me now with more, this is geophysicist Mathieu Dunberry. He's a professor of physics at the University of Alberta. He speaks to us tonight from Edmonton. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, this is always one of those headlines. You're like, oh, the Earth's core has stopped spinning. Oh, no. What is that? What does that mean? I've seen all sorts of apocalyptic tweets about it. Like, I didn't have this on my list of catastrophes. But what? First, I guess we should remind listeners what the Earth's core is and why would it spin?
Right. So just as a first order picture of the interior of the Earth, we're at the surface on the crust, which is, I don't know, like 30 to 100 kilometers thick. And then underneath that, there's a layer that we call the mantle, which is also solid on our time scale. And essentially halfway to the center of the Earth, then we have the core. And so the core is separated into two parts. We have the fluid core, which is the outer part. And then the inner part is actually solid, and we call that the inner core. Now, in terms of the rotation, I've also seen a lot of headlines, which seems quite catastrophic. That's right. It seems like the apocalypse is just about to happen. But I think, there's a little bit of misinformation out there. So the mental picture you have to have is that, of course, if you're seeing the Earth rotating from outer space, it rotates once around itself every 24 hours. Okay. And so what this study is looking at is the small differential rotation of the inner core with respect to the mantle. So right. In other words, it's not as if the mantle is rotating once around itself in 24 hours that the inner core is not rotating at all. No, right. The inner core is also rotating and pretty much 24 hours, except a little bit more or a little bit less as a function of time. That's the visual picture we need to have in mind here.
And it's quite large, is it not? The core is quite large. I think I saw it compared to a planet. Now I'm going to forget which planet it was.
So the fluid core of the Earth, the radius is 3,500 kilometers, more right. or less. And so it's bigger than the Moon. It's bigger than Mercury. So the core of the Earth itself is large. And the inner core is about 1,200 kilometers. So it's not tiny either. It's smaller than the Moon, but it is a big chunk of material.
And what is the impact of it? So we understand, of course, it's spinning just slightly. If I'm going to get this wrong, it's spinning just slightly off how the Earth is spinning.
To give you an idea of the rates here, so let's use the period of the Earth's rotation, so 24 hours for the mantle. So when the inner core is rotating a little bit faster, it rotates faster by a rate of approximately 0.1 degree per year, which what this means is that instead of 24 hours, it's 24 hours and essentially 1/10 of a second in addition. Right.
By scientific terms, it's significant, but it's not by realistic terms, it's not much at all, right?
Exactly. And so that's why I think, there are a lot of sort of all of these catastrophic scenarios out there. I think it's because of the mental picture of the inner core has stopped rotating. Really, what it means is that, in the previous decade, at least from the seismic observations that the authors of the paper and others before had done, it appears that the inner core for a while was rotating a little bit faster than the mantle, again, just by a small amount, fraction of a second per day. Mm-hmm. But now in the last decade or so, it seemed to have slowed down so that now it's essentially rotating at the same rate as the mantle.
Yep. And this is cyclical, right? I mean, it's not, exactly. This happens. Why is that?
The reason for why that happens is actually in terms of the dynamical picture, this is not a surprise at all. This is exactly what we expect. And so, the reason why we expect this is because we have observations of changes in the Earth's magnetic field. So the Earth's magnetic field, which is produced and generated by motion in the fluid core, it changes with time. And these changes are not dramatic, they're slow, but using these changes with time and position around the Earth, we can essentially build a picture of essentially how core flows, the flows at the surface of the core, look like and how they've changed as a function of time. In a sense, it's a little bit like looking at the ocean flows, right? Or the main atmospheric flows. So we're doing the same thing, and we're using the magnetic field as a tracer for flows. And looking at the fluctuations of these flows, essentially, we see changes of that order, kind of fraction of a degree per year, and oscillating with decadal periods. And so then we can just assume that the inner core is just at the middle of this. Both the inner core and the fluid core, or good electrical conductor, they're made up of iron dominantly. And so if you have flow in the fluid core that are going by next to the inner core will tend to be entrained with it. And so we expect that the inner core, you know, should not have a steady rotation, but its rotation should reflect these fluctuating flows in the core.
It's not an independent actor, so to speak.
No, exactly. So the inner core, fluid core, and the mantle, they're all coupled together. Now, where this story or the study is very interesting is because the author seems to have been able to detect this in observations of the orientation of the inner core, and they do this by looking at how when there's an earthquake, seismic waves travel through the earth, including through the inner core, and how these waves change as a function of time reflect essentially the changing orientation of the inner core. It gives essentially an observation of the actual changing rate of the inner core.
Geophysicist Matthew Dunbury of the University of Alberta is with us this half hour. We're talking about some headlines, a new study, all based on this new study that seems to have found by using seismic waves, essentially, that travel, you know, earthquakes, they travel through the center of the earth, so to speak. This is not scientific. It appears to have shown that the earth's inner core has stopped spinning, so to speak. And by stop spinning, it's not like a top that stops spinning. It's not spinning faster than the mantle, than the rest of the planet. This is going to be not very scientific, and may even be spinning the other way. Matsu, what happens then here? So it's cyclical. We've determined that it's not an independent actor, so it's reacting to other forces. But when the core of the Earth starts spinning the other way, so to speak, what happens?
So, I mean, in terms of what happens in terms of consequences for us at the surface, there are essentially no consequences. Like, you know, this has been going on for decades and millennia, and we're still around. So, but there are observable consequences. Like, for example, in terms of the length of the day. And so earlier I referred to the mantle taking 24 hours to spin around itself. Well, actually, we detect changes with respect to that period. The changes are small, but again, changing over decadal timescales, sort of every 20 years or so, the mantle is rotating a little bit faster, then a little bit slower. And here, you know, the rate of change or the, like, the difference with respect to 24 hours is really tiny. It's a couple of milliseconds. But yet we can detect these very well. And so these changes occur for many different reasons. First of all, there are changes in the flow in the ocean and the wind speeds and so on. And now your listeners will probably be scared, but if you remember your first year physics course at the university, mm-hmm. there's a quantity which needs to be conserved. It's called the angular momentum, which essentially it's what it means is if for a body isolated, if one part of the body rotates one way, then a different part of the body must rotate in a different way or a different sense such that the global rotation is conserved. And so if the wind speed are slightly faster, then the mantle underneath must rotate slightly slower to compensate. But likewise, if there's flow in the core that are going slightly faster, then the mantle has to slow down. So we observe these changes in the length of the day, and those occurring at decadal timescale, we know that they're caused by an exchange of angular momentum between the core and the mantle. And simply by playing a kind of an angular momentum budget, Yes,
they're balancing each other. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, what we don't know is what causes. We know that the exchange of angular momentum is between the core and the mantle, but the mechanism, how is the exchange being done? That's the part that we don't know. And so this is where, again, having a better picture of the slow changes in the rate of rotation of the inner core, the solid chunk of the core at the center of the Earth, can help us to essentially unravel this story of essentially what is, how is the angular momentum transferred between the core and the mantle. In particular, one of the ways is through a so-called gravitational coupling. So if the inner core goes one way, it tends to drag the mantle along a little bit via gravitational forces.
Right. It seems amazing that we have the James Webb Telescope, and yet we actually don't know that much about what's below our feet right here. We do know, but we don't know much, or don't know enough yet.
This is a very interesting observation. As a scientist working in this field of research, I've often experienced essentially how little people know about the interior of our planet, and whereas people know a lot about outer space, and partly it's the power of the images that are coming from telescopes and that really draws the imagination of people, and so it's only natural. But in a sense, when I tell people that I'm a geophysicist, often people don't know what this means. Essentially, it's the physics of understanding the Earth, right?
No wonder the headlines scream when something like this happens, because it sounds so dramatic. It sounds like this large ball that we all rely on is going to suddenly stop spinning, go the other way. And anytime that happens on the surface of the Earth, it usually means something bad. Right.
Right. I mean, but at the same time here, I think there's also a marketing of the science issue in a sense that universities of the researchers that publish these studies will have press release. And I mean, right. The reason why you yourself got interested into the story is because it seemed dramatic, right?
Right. We're being spun.
Exactly. So if the press release that you had seen was like, the inner core is rotating in 24 hours plus 0.1 second, yeah. Or at some point it's rotating slightly, at a slightly slower rate than that, that doesn't seem very exciting, right?
No.
So there is a little bit of a good salesmanship, yes, of scientific studies here.
Putting a spin on it. I mean, literally.
Putting
a spin on it. So in a nutshell, nothing to worry about. This is cyclical. Everything will be okay.
Exactly. Nothing to worry about. Although as an Earth scientist and somebody who studies the dynamics of the Earth's core, this is a very exciting study because it allows us to understand a little bit more the internal dynamics of the Earth. And we study those because it allows us to estimate physical quantities and parameters for which we otherwise have very little information. And these are important in terms of how we understand the evolution of the planet, like the over time, I'm talking about the Earth here. But then why is then a planet like Venus or Mars completely different than Earth, right? And how different their revolutions have been. And so it's all part of that general theme and endeavor to understand better how planets evolve over time.
Without ever getting those fantastic images like from the James Webb, right? We'll just have to use our imagination, even though we're standing right on top of it, so to speak.
Exactly.
Mr. Dunbury, thank you so much.
You're welcome.